of you're the heads of households, or anyone that feels the liberty, just let's have a little prayer here before we start. Could we do that? I guess not.
Yeah, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for being with us, Lord. We thank you for your presence, and we thank you for the faithfulness of your Holy Ghost in every one of us, Lord.
Thank you that you don't leave us as we are.
Lord, clear the debris out of the way, Lord. We focus upon you fully.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for your word, Lord, to dwell on, to live by, to know how to walk in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Your mercies are new every morning.
Thank you, Lord.
We lean hard this morning upon you, Lord, and ask you for that help, and know, Lord, that you hear us.
Amen. Let's gather.
Yeah.
those of you who weren't here yesterday, I suggest you get the tape. When some of the meetings and from Arizona, after somebody speaks, they rave and rave about the individual, and I've said, don't do that. Whatever anyone has, it comes from God, and we don't need to grease the turkeys before they're going to the oven, because all of us are pathetic without the undergirding help of God. Can you say amen to that? And once we get that down, we can remove ourselves from the futility of what the church has done and what we have not purposely done, but foolishly believed that somehow we had something to contribute to God rather than that God was the contributor, and without him we were useless. Okay? We're there. All right, if you would, I'm going to take some liberty here. Gary Vincent, I called him some weeks back, and it's just been one of the greatest encounters I had, because he was with me as a little guy. Well, never that little, but he was ball player and smart. And he came east, and some of you know the history. I won't get into it. But I've always loved him, and he took a cross situation where I had to say to him, what you're doing here and what the witness is ungodly, and we've got to shut this farm down. You know, if somebody came in tomorrow and said, you guys are an utter mess, this thing has to go, you know, some of you wouldn't argue at all. You'd say, yeah, there is a mess here, because we see both sides, do we not? Yeah. We see the new man. We should be encouraging him, and we see the old stuff. But I was fortunate enough to have God helping me, because he has been so down, so hurt with a wife situation, a situation of a daughter who had a son, his grandson, and he loved it. He's the only father that his grandson ever had, that's what he says. And when you love somebody to that extent, and anyway, he was kind of disturbed, and I told him this. I said, Gary, when you finally got out of the walk and came into a judgeship, you were totally dependent every time you came into court, because it was a juvenile court, and those things are, you know, they're divorced, they're painful, little kids are hurt, and who knows what, and the parents are playing tug of war with their members. And it's got to be an awful piece of hell to try to bring something out of it. And anyway, I said, Gary, you were perfect, because you didn't know anything and you knew you didn't. You were serving, and you were Christ when you were there, Gary. And he said, you're right, I didn't know anything. And I said, when you went to the latrine, standing there relieving yourself, you were saying, God help me, I don't know what to do here. I have no idea what's necessary. And you always came forth trusting that God was with you. And so, you know, and that's true in many of our lives, the little parenthetical things that we need to say, the Lord, I was Christ there. I didn't know it, I don't, you know. He allowed me to live as Christ. And that's central to you, because the fuel and the help that you have, Christ is the power of God. God doesn't work outside of Christ. Anybody outside of Christ is dead.
I shouldn't say he doesn't work. I'm kind of thinking I've got the picture fully. He's got angels to do his bidding, and there's a lot of unknown. But as far as traction and going forth, God doesn't go anywhere with us until we're living as Christ. If I want to live as Greer, and I have, with the power and the gifts, and God, he doesn't mind giving me a gift and showing me what a first-class, confused individual I am. He's done that to the whole church. There are great men of God out there who are just saying, we got to raise the dead. We got to do these things. And they make the switch out of the truth of God into their gift. And everyone in this room has a measure of a gift, and you're all ministry, okay? All of you are. And please don't always push things off on Richard or David or Fabian or Tom or somebody else. You have to stand up as Christ on the earth. And I'll just say this is a freebie. If you don't know how to rest, the Christ in you does. If you don't know how to be intense and get off the backside, God, who directs the Christ that you're in, does. There is no lacking. You are complete in Christ. You're not finished. It's like my father left me an inheritance so I could take Agnes Elizabeth with me everywhere. She is really high rent. I mean, she won't go in a motel. We, honest to goodness, I heard about it for almost a year. I wanted to stay in a motel and I think it was, New Mexico. And there happened to be one of those little bugs in there. They come and go, and that's right. She couldn't get me to the car fast enough, so she's expensive. But I didn't know, and when that was promised to me, the finances, I didn't know how much he had. I knew how much I was going to get, because he was pretty difficult individual. But it was given to me before I got it. Okay? And what has been given to you before you got it is the imputation of all things and your completeness this moment in Christ. You have no excuse. I have no excuse for not going forward. The enemy doesn't like me when I go forward. He hates you. He does everything he can to stop us. And let me say this. Everything that you have done is over. Even if you're in it, it's over in the mind of God, because by his looking ahead, I'll use that word, and he sees the things that aren't yet, and he sees you as finished. That's why John Henson could run around and say, "I see you perfect. I see a bit." He said it over and over and over again. I think somebody was trying to convince himself, because he has a lot of real weird people parachute into his places, And we were all that way when we first started, right? But everything you have to go forward is for you. Now, I'm not going to spend any time. I'll let some of the rest of the guys do that. I just want to be as positive as I can, because basically, I'm a very good negative thinker. I brag about that because Winston Churchill was. Hitler was a positive thinker. We're going to conquer the world. No, you won't. No, you won't, he said. So there's some good things about being a negative thinker. And you have to know which one God's on, because I don't know. Now, if you turn with me to Romans 12, we've been here. And All I'm not apologizing for the review. You need the review. I need the review. And there's, we were talking about court. And if you want to write anything down, let me ask you a question. Oh, I'm sorry Don is not here. I should get him on the phone. I know he could talk on the phone, but he's not supposed to be running around much. Is he here this morning? No. Any of his relatives here? Is his son here? What? All right. Yeah, you're one of the Winstons back there, right? All right. Now tell me this. I've been in on jury duty a little bit. I always try to get out of it. And you know, when the defense, you know, everybody, they get a chance to question the jurors, and I've told this story. The kids haven't heard it, most of them, but I was going in for jury duty. And in that situation, there was a guy who baited bears, put food out there, and it's against the law to do that, and I don't know what else he did. I really didn't care, and I didn't want to know, okay? The only thing I've ever hunted would be ducks and beautiful pheasants. But he said, excuse me, Mr. Greer, how do you feel about hunting? And I know this was a bear, it was a grizzly, I guess. And I said, anyone who would hunt an animal that would hunt him back needs a brain transplant. And he dismissed, which I wanted to be dismissed. I didn't want to sit around talking about hunting bear, cheating and all that stuff. It just seemed such a bore, and I thought what I was doing was more important. And it could have been. But when you assert anything, when you say you want something, and is there anybody here, now you've been told that you're sons. Do you believe that?
Yes.
You've been told that. Now, do you believe you're on your way to the fullness of the stature that God intends for you to attain to? Do you believe that? Okay. Now, some people say, I'm not going to trust him. He might get, this isn't a trick question. We're all hoping that God is with us, right?
Yes.
Now, he who asserts, that's you, that's me, has to prove it.
Yeah.
You have to have evidence. Mm-hmm. Now, ask yourself today. Don't be too hard on yourself, because you didn't do this to you. You did not choose you. God took you and chose you. And if you're like I am, I said, my God, I'm questioning his taste. You know, never question Betty's, but I always question God's. Now, I said, that girl really knows what she's doing. You know, and I didn't give her a chance for rebuttal or anything. But dear ones, and I started saying this about yesterday's word. Yesterday, you heard a living word. It was alive because God was speaking through the vessel, okay? And God is preparing you to be living examples, living proof, evidence, if you please. And I woke up this morning thinking, my God, I yesterday I thought, and I just didn't go to the to one person or the next or the next. There's so many in here that they have measured growth. You can see it. And I'm not talking about little kids necessarily growing up, because they're scary, you know. Sometimes they're so cute and you say, oh, they're so wonderful. And then 3 weeks later, you say, ah, not so wonderful. Because they're in the middle of a new battle. But you have to live as Christ if you're going to go anywhere. And you can't do that because we say it, because you read it. You have to ask God every day as you offer. And that's where we are. And let's look at this. We've been here so many times, but there's no forward progress without an offering. You're stuck. I'm in a hole. And let me just say this. If you do not want to completely do the will of God, doesn't mean you can't. I mean, I'd say, God, I want to do your will completely. Yeah, Bill, we know that, but you can't. And so, God, bring me so much closer to that reality, because it says in John 7:17, if any man will do my will, he'll know. And it also says there in Proverbs, in all you're getting, get understanding. And one of the things that we have to understand, if you want to continue to do your will, and this is for anyone here, and I've done my will was to be something as God's servant, which is nonsense. And that's where the church doesn't have the traction. That's why there hasn't been an emergence, a surfacing of mature sons. And please trust me in this. God bless you. I look around and there are sons in this room that are getting it. It's in their hearts. They've committed to that. And I've also been so nasty in my heart to see the infancy of myself and others. But believe me, God has shown me one thing, and I am dead. I am so sure of it. And I know that the enemy hates you. And you have produced so many wonderful, natural things. But what is moving is when the life of God comes through the heart of you. When you're living as Christ. I can talk about your mom, Seth, the other day. You know, she's always picked on me. She never liked me girding, you know, because I'm always hiking up and stuff. And she was very critical of my outfits. And she was kind of playing. And your dad and she came in. And she was just wonderful. You know, I know that she's been serving her parents and that, and it was just good. And you know, sometimes you don't know how much you miss people until you haven't seen them and they come around again, you know. But there are sons, and the proof is in the cross experiences. You know, and our brother doesn't like getting up here. We got a room full of people who don't, you know, they're against the tide of their own will, they stand here, you know. And things are changing, and God has been so good to us. But the wonder of the friends that we have here forever. There are people here that would take a bullet for some of you. They would stand when others would want to do this and take your place, because there's that much of Christ within their hearts. We're not finished. I'm not talking about we're ready to be resurrected. No. I have no understanding of the when. But I know that that's happening. It's measurable. It's measurable. And you sit here this morning with an immeasurable capacity to go as far as you will trust God to take you. Because Jesus was given the Spirit without limitation. There was no limitation on where God was going to take him. And let me tell you this, and this is really important, if you can believe it. You won't right away, but you too have an open heaven. You have an open, non-limited place to go in God as you trust Father God. But remember, when I bought my first Mercedes, I knew very well. I mean, this guy talked me into getting a car. He said, hey, and I had my old man's Mercedes, and I was only 30-something. And the guy said, well, Bill, while your car's getting fixed, just trust this. I don't want the Mercedes, the new one. I got an old car. I can go for 19 cents a gallon because I spray that on my avocado trees. Don't want this. He said, well, just try it. Come on. Give it a try. And I said, I'm telling you, I'm not going to buy the car. I don't want the car. Okay? And he said, just come here. And so he put me, and I said, oh, I just got tired of being harassed. So I got in this car, and it wasn't the old, I liked the old Mercedes, the classics, but I got in there, and he said, I just want you to feel that box. Just feel the way that goes in. And so we drove around, and oh my, Mr. I'm going to say no, said yes. But we have a Heavenly Father. Now, he wouldn't have, at 15, God wouldn't have let me have the Lamborghini that I wanted, you know. Your Heavenly Father nurtures you, though you have all things, and all things pertaining to life and godliness are yours. Your Heavenly Father is fairly stingy in some things. For a while. Until the time. And so you wait. And please understand this. There are things that I've waited for and waited for and waited for and thought maybe they'll never come. And I'm just getting indications now, maybe of why and the betterment of all that. But you have to have evidence. Now let's just look at it in terms of your offering. Look at it. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I thought, oh my God. Think about this. You go out and look at this night sky, and you see, and I'm sorry Don isn't here because he's got all these measurements of how far this star is and multi-trillion miles away. You know, it'd take you 50 years to get to the, you know, I don't. And you are joint heirs where you sit, imputed to you to receive all things that the Son of God has. Your inheritors. Read the will. You're in it. Nobody can take you out. God's not a liar. He swore by himself. He promised that he swore by himself. A threefold cord is not going to be broken. You won't. He's going to make life so miserable on this planet, I don't know if we can get more miserable. I've been asking guys, please pray for me. I feel so nasty about the world. I really wonder if I'm a Christian at times when I think of what I would do to some of those people. Help! But regardless of the condition you're in this moment, you have the Spirit of Christ, and it's not measured. Whatever you need, whatever God, as your nurturing Father, wants you to receive, you get. You're going to die for it. You know, Paul said it. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, yet not I. If you're still living, you're not going anywhere. And that's a heavy call, because you've got this soul that I can do it, I can do it, I can do it, I can. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. I'm the little engine. No, you know, you're not even a one-feathered Indian. Give it up. There's no going forward. All right. And be not conformed to this world. You have to ask God for that too. You know, I've got a pollen shirt thing on, and I never could afford a shirt like that. But these rich guys throw them away in the Goodwill, and I know all the places to shop. And you look at David, he's one of the best dressers on the West Coast. And he does it for nickels and dimes. And you say amen. Not to be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And only God can give you that right mind. I love the Cool Hand Luke, except for a couple of things. Are you going to get your mind right, Luke? You going to get your mind right? Luke, what if you're the back sasses? No, I got my mind right. Well, we always think we got our mind right before we get our mind right. Okay? The existential nausea is we don't know when we're right or wrong, and we have to be fully dependent. David said it one time, I think he said it about 6 times. I hope you heard it. You can't do this. You're nothing. It's impossible. Quit trying. But in that, you have to be accountable to God's direction. The word responsibility comes up, and I was just looking at it the other day. It was kind of funny, because with all the objective wonder and goodness and abundance of God, the response of me, when I travel, I tell the people this, take a lot of time to see the grace and the mercy of Almighty God for you. If you really get into it by the Spirit of God, it'll break you. It'll make you cry when you know how much He loves you, how much effort He's given to bring you around. You know, I mean, what did it take to bring some of these hard-headed guys? You know, think about it. You live among some heavy duty soul power guys in this room. And the women aren't too bad themselves at times. They want what they want. Is that true, guys? Do the girls want what they want? Oh, check. Boy, we got a room full of. What? Yeah. They do. But they're not impossible with God. He can break you. All right. But be and then it says this, that you may prove. You have to have evidence to grow. And the evidence is, somebody tell me what the evidence is. What is the evidence that God's looking for? Anybody? I don't have a monopoly or a franchise on this. I'd like to know what you think. Because it's time for many of you to really have to make declarations, and it won't be long before people will look to you because you're becoming saviors. That's what you're called to. Saviors, because the world and the history of the world is in a mess. Multitudes have never heard what you know. And it can't just stay here. Anybody?
Faith and trust is the evidence.
What? Go ahead.
That's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Well, I want you.
It wasn't enough.
You don't want to say a little more? Okay, well, we don't force people to do anything.
I thought that was really a great answer.
Yeah. I thought you might think that. The circumstance is you prove it by the life. It's yielded. You don't duck the cross. And you don't know when it's coming. You know, I thought I was going to write a book on child raising, and Nolan Ryan threw the ball 103 miles an hour, even faster at times. Then he threw it over the backstop. Then he threw it right at a guy's head, and the guy could barely duck. Then he started throwing strikes, and he became the greatest pitcher of all time. And God knows how to pitch you. He knows where to throw it. He knows what you can hit and what you can't. And with the little kids, he gives them a rubber bat, and he says, okay, and he soft pitches to the little kids. And as a daddy, as a father to the little ones, he allows them to score and to get out of themselves. He's the perfect friend. You don't have anybody on the earth that loves you like your Heavenly Father and the Spirit of truth that is in you today. And the proof is that you live in Christ. You're not associated with the churchianity. You don't care so much about our tradition. Your love is for the Father to show you where you need help. And one of the things that's awful is we're all, you know, sometimes when the guys are butchering downstairs, I could, you know, I listen and I hear them, they come up and some of them get cut up and they, you know, it's really hard work. Especially when they get all the moves. And this place is like a butcher shop at times, because everybody's getting dealt with. Everybody. That is, everybody who'll come up and say, God, you've got me today. Show me. Show me today. You got me. I don't know what to do. I love you. I'm glad that you love me. You're scary. I don't feel, there are times when I think this is so ridiculous what you've asked me to do. I know I'm a failure. I just want to retreat and do something comfortable. I'll play a word game. I'll watch a competitive thing. I'll dig a ditch. I'll take the snow off the roof. I'll drive that boat, but don't ask me to die. And he knows that you think that way. And I said this before, let me just say it again to you. Please, dear ones, tell him the truth about where you are. If you don't like him, tell him you don't like him. I can't like you because I don't know you. If I'm going to love you, you got to have more interfacing with me. It says, pour out your heart to him. Well, your heart's desperately wicked. You're not going to give him all good stuff. Here I am, Father. I want you to know. Pardon? I want you to know that you're wonderful and you've made me wonderful, and together we're going to be so wonderful. You know, we lie like, you know, right? Like the press. Okay, that helps. Didn't have an image. But you have to have proof. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought. And God's doing a job on that one. Say amen. Because you know, some of you aren't thinking that you're so much. My God, did I think I was something. But to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You have a little measure starting. And it grows as he sees you are serious. Why would you give something to somebody that wasn't serious? He has. And we've seen them come and go. And then we think, yeah, it's kind of all over. We're surprised because one morning they woke up and gave themselves, and they haven't stopped giving. We see those guys, don't we, David, in the conventions. They come back, and someone, what do they say? We haven't seen that guy for about 20 years. And he comes in, and he, you know, he does it. His mascara isn't running. He's a guy. But his wife is there, and they look like, oh, thank you, God. These people are still here. Well, God was out there with them all the time. They, you know, coming to Bowen's Mill's not going to help you any more than coming to Whitestone. Actually, you get worse out here. Is that right? Sure it is. What? I'm going to ask you to develop that if you give me these short answers all the time.
They're short, but they're very deep.
Yeah. Your mother is saying, amen. Isn't he wonderful? All right. All right, I want to go to Galatians 6. You guys have got to pick up the speed here. Galatians 6. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. And my God, we're not cops. The elderships here is not the police. We're not overlording you. We are not your covering. The Spirit of God is. The liberty that you walk in today is something that is God-given. We cannot take that from you. We may cozy up once in a while or say, stop driving 75 miles around the farm. There are children out there. And there are things that we do that are naturally responsible. And the spiritual men will talk to you. But primarily, they should be listening. Anyway, bear one another burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is very simple. It's a law of love. If you cannot learn to love your brother more than you do you, you're not in Christ. I've said this before. One day I looked out and I knew I didn't like anybody very much. And then one day I looked and I felt the love of God, and I looked and I said, my goodness, I'm alive now. I've passed from death to life because I love the brethren. I couldn't help myself. There are things in your heart that God has put you will never get rid of. I mean, I tell Nancy Porter regarding her boys, I think it's true, your boys will never have any fun in a wild, drunken orgy. They know too much. They're boring in the world. You know, I don't want any challenges on that, but it's true. But consider in thyself, it says there, lest thou also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and we should be. Right now, the circumstances of people, of Sister Kathy and Angela and others in this room, we ought to be lifting them up, and we don't need a Wednesday night prayer meeting to do it. We can have it, but we should be on our faces crying out to God that He would use us to stabilize and to abate the pain that's in people's lives. Can you say amen? And we all know the difficulty of prayer. It's the hardest thing, but the most necessary thing in our lives. All right. And then it says in verse 4, but let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Now, and I brought that in here for this major reason. When you and God are together, you know it. I asked David this morning, how did it go with Rio Seco? I know it went well, because I know David. I know he prays. I know he is not thinking, well, You're so wonderful to have me. I mean, you're so fortunate. He is dependent. He preaches limitation and he walks limited. And when you humble yourself, see, God can put you to shame, but he will not humble you. You have to humble you. You have to humble you. So God, I don't like my neighbor next door. He's only 10 feet away. God, I'm knocking on your door. Would you help me love him? And God will let you sit there till hell freezes over. You have to go over and humble yourself. It's not going to come like a hummingbird at your feet or, you know, flying his wings and being such a beautiful little thing. It's painful for you to say, I'm ashamed of what I was. Is that right? I got two or three people over here agree. Okay, that's enough. 1 Thessalonians. Excuse me, 2. Here's some things, and I want some response here. Just pray, and that goes for Richard, who knows what's going on, and several in this room. I don't want any answers from Dave, or he has to get up and preach the rest of it by himself, because he thinks his short answers are enough. They're not. Okay, and but listen to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, little foundational company there. Unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank, wow, you know, I was thanking God for yesterday's line because it came from God himself through a vessel who humbled himself. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, necessary, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. That's where I want some of our folks to talk. How do you know? What evidence is there that faith grows? Please, somebody, say it out loud. How do you know when faith has grown? These guys seem to know it. Anyone?
There's an element of peace that comes.
Say it.
There's an element of peace that comes when you're growing.
An element of peace. I think that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
You're not so obsessed with what you can see.
Yeah, yeah. You say, hey, he can take care of that. That's the only peace I've had. I mean, I've got a, they cut a my colon out. I got this. I got high driving individual thinking I can do it. And the only time I have peace is when I say, God, this is yours, not my problem. Please, I need your rest. You have perfect peace in Christ. If you want it, you don't get it right away. Sometimes he'll let you wait a few days, a week, month. Evidence of growth.
You're willing to take risky steps.
What?
You're willing to take steps that look like risks to other people, perhaps?
Yeah.
Because you're trusting the Lord, or he's spoken to you to take that step, but it looks risky.
Yeah, here I go. And you're not afraid because, but what is the indication that there's trust there? Because David talked about it. The center of all we're doing is faith. You can't please him with.
Because in yourself, you wouldn't do that thing.
Yeah.
You wouldn't choose to do that. You wouldn't take that step unless you knew it was the
Lord. Yeah, it's kind of, oh, the heck with them. if it's humbling yourself or drawing a line, okay?
Well, I think faith either grows or dies completely. And so in your journey, you can tell that it's growing because your eyes are still on him, even though many things, there's a lot of water under the bridge.
Yeah, yeah. Well put.
Brother Bill?
Nice and loud.
I think you begin to have a bigger view, an overall view, rather than looking at the little details of life, because faith, hope, and charity, those are one of the things that exist forever. And so you begin to see things more in an eternal view.
Yeah, yeah. And it's always, it's not about me anymore.
Right.
Although I'm in it.
Yeah. I think it's
come on, come on, come on.
I just think there's a transition of less of a focus on your own inabilities, your own incapacities. You know those, and there's a greater dependence on the Lord to move through you. And that's just because we're naturally born to depend on what we feel, how we look. You know, it's a transition in faith, the growth of faith, where there's just not, I'm not at the center of what's happening.
Yeah. And you know where you're going to blow it sometimes, where you have. God, let me shut up and listen. And then, boom. And if you mess up, it's just a warning sign that you didn't listen, and you got to stay with God. You want to say something, huh?
I just want to make sure everybody could hear me, because you have the microphone on.
Well, I want them close to me, but, you know, it's difficult.
I think one of the signs of faith grows is reconciliation, when you can reconcile someplace where you have really been divided.
Yeah, yeah. That takes a great deal of humility, and only God can do that. Actually, he shows you the need, but he wants you to take that step, because there's vigor when you knock on a door and say you were wrong. You know. And I, you know, my daughter, I don't know where she got it. She said, I made a mistake, you know. I mean, just to be protective. Anybody else? This is where it is, because you're to grow. You don't grow, difficult. Anything else? I think sometimes you measure with people's tone, their quietude. And I think starting with peace was a good point, Kathy. You know, you're on the edge of difficult things and you've had to cry for peace. Huh? All right. Evidence. It's something that's measurable. And sometimes it's inexplicable. It's like the Supreme Court justice was asked for a definition. And he said, I can't define it, but when I see it, I know what it is. And it's with us. Sometimes this heart is undefinable. You know, I've seen brethren right here close to me under very difficult task and pain, and you see them walking through it. You see them not letting it take them out from under the everlasting arms of Father God. They stay. They have staying power. And it's not them, but they say, God, please help me stay when I want to run. All right. And the love of every one of you, all toward each other, aboundeth. And I would say, and without being critical, there's a great deal more room for the love among the brethren. I would say so. And I think I think it was Keller who said to me, he talked about our Thanksgiving. And I think, rather than announce all the wonderful things about one another, that we go to the individual themselves, one to one, you know. Because I think sometimes the announcements have a commercialization or something that's not so good. But on a one-to-one, the frame of telling someone how much they mean, a brother, a sister, or, you know, and sometimes you just need an afternoon or a phone call. And I remember saying to Gary, I said, Gary, you don't know how much it means for us to have this back together thing. And then he went on to talk about what has happened and where we were in his mind. And it's the love of God that connects. We have the same, we both like stamp collecting, we both are chess players, it's something that the Spirit of God does in your heart and in the heart of someone else. And this is what God is looking for, and this is the commandment of the Lord. I'm finished here, so why don't you just get out of the way and let these people have their weekend, okay? I do want to read this, and it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God. You cannot receive the grace of God by some intellectual delivery. You receive it because God has shown you his care and his mercy when you didn't deserve it. You receive that by the mystical, invisible Spirit of God that's in every one of you. And I think somebody said the other day, you talked about the diversity that's in every one of us and what we have to go through. That is really true. But remember, it's tailored perfectly. And I feel like God knows how much we can take. And he's very gentle. There's some things he gives to people early, you know, and they get into hell, but they want out and they get out. And there are many fallings and many gettings up. But God help us. God help us to be absolutely sure of one thing, that we will be proven. It will be demonstrable what you love more than this world. And God is helping us. He's sure making it look ugly. He's got a horror movie out there every morning in the news. So I suggest you stay away from it because it's so dissatisfying. But as we close today, would you just bow your heads and could we all just have some silent prayer for a minute or two and realize that the greatest weapon of our warfare will be when we're under the power of God and we're calling on him to finish this work and to deal with those things that are necessary. Holy Father, surround us this moment.